إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, first of all, let me remind you about the importance of the fasting of 6 days in Shawwal, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned and said that the one who fasts the full month of Ramadan and then fasts for 6 days in Shawwal, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give him the reward of fasting for the whole year. Because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives the minimum of ten hasanat for every one good deed a person does. So if you calculate, 1 month plus 6 days equals to the whole year. And that's important for us to do that, because the fasting of the 6 days in Shawwal has to be done within Shawwal. And it need not be done consecutively, but any time during the month of Shawwal, inshallah. So I remind you to please not lose out this opportunity to get hasanat from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Today I want to remind myself and you about one of the most important things that distinguishes this ummah from every other ummah, and that is the issue of Amar bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said in the Quran, Surah Al Imran, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah." Which means Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said that you are the best of people who have been extracted and selected for mankind. Allah did not say you have been selected from mankind. Allah did not say ukhrijat minannas. He said ukhrijat linnas. You have been selected for the benefit of mankind. And what is his benefit? That you enjoin good, you order good, you recommend good, you encourage good, wa nahi al munkar, and you stop evil, stop all forms of evil. Wa tu'minuna billah, and you have iman in Allah. Please notice, Allah did not say that you have iman in Allah first. Allah could have said you have iman in Allah and you do this work. No, Allah said you do this work and you have iman. Because you get iman as a consequence of doing Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. It's not the other way around. You don't do Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar because you have iman. But because you do Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, because you enjoy good and you forbid evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you iman and He gives you strength in this iman. So this is a direct hukam from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to enjoin good and forbid evil. All forms of good, all forms of evil. Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar is not restricted to haram and halal. It's not restricted only to what is haram and halal in the Sharia. It encompasses all forms of good and all forms of evil, whether or not they are specifically mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. Second point to understand, and that's why I said that this is a distinguishing feature of this ummah, is that this is the work which was given to this ummah because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and final messenger after whom there is no messenger. Because the work of Amar bin Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar was the work of the Anbiya. The people of the past, they were not given this duty directly. But for this ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this duty directly. And Allah said, this is your distinguishing feature, that you do this work, the work of the Anbiya alayhimu salam. In connection with this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the famous hadith, which we have all heard many times, where he said to the sahaba, he said, if you see any evil, stop it with your hand. Meaning, take action against it. And then he said, if you do not have the strength to do that, if you do not have the courage to do that, if you don't have the strength to do that, then وَإِلَّمْ تَسْتَتِي, he said, then speak against it. Raise your voice against it. And he said, if you can't even do that, then at least consider it to be evil in your heart, and this is a sign of the weakness of your faith. So the third one is not an option. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not giving three options. He's giving only two options. And the third one is, he's giving it as a, he's explaining that this is a sign of the weakness of iman. That you can't even open your mouth, that you can't even speak against an evil. So the first thing to do is to stop it with your hand, meaning take action against it. Second one is to raise your voice against it, either by writing or by speaking. And the third thing is, if you can't even do both of these, at least hold it evil and hate it in your heart. And he said, this last one is a sign of the weakness of your faith. Now imagine, even if that is the case, even if that weak faith is what we have, then will you participate in such a thing? If you hate it in your heart, maybe you don't have the guts to speak, maybe you don't have the guts to stop it. But obviously, if you really hate it in your heart, which is a sign of the weakest of iman, even that is enough to keep you away from such gatherings. Now, what about the people who know something is wrong and who still participate in that thing, who still go there? What about them? Then do they have even the weak iman, or is the iman completely gone? Now, that's for us to think and reflect. And in this connection, Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned in another hadith, he said that the decline of Bani Israel started from the time when one among them would do something which was prohibited. And then people of knowledge among them would speak against it. They would try to stop the person. They would say, don't do this. But if the person persisted and did not stop, they would not cut off their connections with that person. They would continue to have relations with that person on account of family relations or on account of friendships or on some other account. They would not cut their relations with that person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the decline of Bani Israel, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was invited from the time they started doing this. Somebody would do evil, and it's not that nobody knew it was evil. There were people there, the ulama and others. You don't necessarily have to be a great alim to know something is wrong. But those people, and those people even spoke against it. They said, look, what we are doing is wrong, don't do it. But that person does not stop doing that. So what should these people of knowledge, what should they have done? They should have said, sorry, if you are doing this, sorry, we are not part of this. We will not participate in this. And if you insist, then salam alaikum, you do your thing. We don't have any relations with you. They did not do this. They participated in it. They continued to have relations with that person. And they said, no, but after all, he is from our family and he is this, he is that, he is my friend, he is my father's friend, whatever the case might be. They did not cut off relations with that person. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger descended on them, and their decline started from that particular moment, when they refused to cut off relations with people who were doing evil and who had already been warned. Third hadith in this context is where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a hadith which is narrated by Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu, and it is in Tirmidhi, and it is a sahih hadith, where Rasulullah ﷺ said, continue to do the work of Amr bin Maruf and Nahy al-Munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil. He said, if you stop doing that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger will descend on you. Allah will send His punishment on you, and Allah will not accept your dua. In another narration, Nabi ﷺ said, you will ask for protection and Allah will not protect you. You will ask Allah to give you what you need, but Allah will not give you. Now, what more do we want? What more warnings do we want? To say that it is necessary to raise your voice against something in society which is happening, which is wrong. And as I told you, it doesn't have to be something which is haram and halal. It's an issue of something which is wrong. And of course, whatever is wrong is generally haram. But I'm saying, even if it is not haram as in stated specifically, you know it is wrong. Therefore, it is your job as a Muslim to raise your voice against that thing, to try to stop it. Today we find that people don't do this. And the reason they don't do it, we already saw that in the case of the hadith relating to Bani Israel. We don't do it for all kinds of reasons. You will not speak against somebody, even though you are in a position where you should be speaking in that context, because either you get some benefit from that person. He is my boss, he is the head of my organization, I get my salary from him. Or he is a friend, or he is a family member, or he is a part of some association that you belong to, and so on and so forth. All kinds of extraneous reasons, none of which has any relevance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person is doing wrong, but you keep quiet. And people, you even hear people saying, "Arey bhai, aap apna kaam karo na." Kyun bolte? Why do you say it? You do your work. You stay with your prayer. You stay with your. You don't have to speak against it. There is a hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha that when Amar bil Maruf wa Nahy al Munkar stops in a society, when people stop enjoying good and forbidding evil, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His azab and punishment on that society and everybody is destroyed. So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Ya Rasulullah, what about the good people in that community?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Even the good people will be affected and they will also be destroyed. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will separate the good from the evil. So on that day, the good will get whatever they were supposed to get. But in this dunya, they will not be protected. They will suffer and they will be destroyed also along with the evil because they were part of that good and evil. The only exception is where those good people used to do Amar bil Maruf, where they used to raise their voice against the evil, then Allah will protect them. If they did not do that, if they were concerned only with my salah, my namaz, my masjid and my fasting and somebody else is doing evil, and you say, nah, leave it, doesn't matter, let me do my own thing, then you will be destroyed along with the other people." In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to a community and said, "Destroy them because of the evil they were doing." Jibreel alayhi salam said, "Ya Rasul, Ya Rabbal Alameen, there is one man in that community who is a very pious man." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Start the adab from his house." He said, "Begin with him." Because why is he a pious man and he does not raise his voice to stop the evil which is happening? So this feeling that I am not doing wrong and therefore I am safe, this is completely false. Nothing to do with Islam. If you are not raising your voice, if you are not standing up against what is going wrong, then you are part of that and you are doing wrong. You are not a good person. You are doing wrong and you will be punished just like anybody else. I remind myself and you, save yourself from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you see something wrong, open your mouth and speak. Stop it with your hand, speak against it. And the minimum absolutely is do not participate in it, doesn't matter who it is. Today we see all kinds of khurafat in the name of marriages. Maximum happen in the name of marriages. May Allah protect us, all kinds of stuff in the name of marriages. All kinds of, some of it is openly haram stuff. Other things may not be openly haram, but they are definitely some things which are wrong. All sorts of israf, all sorts of ostentation, all sorts of wasteful expenditure. All kinds of, music and dancing and this and that and sangeet. And every day there is a new custom which comes up in the name of Muslim marriages. The biggest evil of them is this issue of dowry. Absolutely, how shameful can it get? You take money to get married. I mean, absolutely shameful. I mean, who wants to marry beggars? I don't know why they give their daughters to people who take money to get married. And the whole world keeps quiet. And you go and attend those wedding parties. And you go and eat that food as if you are starving, as if you are a beggar and you don't have food in your house. We have to stand up and say, "Sorry, I will not participate if that wedding is against the Sharia. Not my job. You do what you want." "No, but you are my brother, you are my uncle, I can be your father also. I will not attend that wedding if it is not according to the Sharia. Period. Khalas." We have to stand up against this. All kinds of khurafat happen in the name of the other big issue. Since we are just out of Ramadan, our iftar parties. We have made iftar parties into a joke. Everyone and his grandfather is having an iftar party. All kinds of politicians have iftar parties. And we are the ones who started it. Today we blame the politician. Why does this person have an iftar party? You are the one who started this whole nonsense about iftar parties. Do your fasting, do your iftar. Maximum somebody, your neighbor, whatnot, maybe send some food to their house or maybe invite them. That's it. Where is this issue of party? What is the party of iftar? Who created this iftar party nonsense? But we have all these iftar parties. And the next one is Eid Milad parties. This is another new fitrah. And in the name of Eid Milad party, you have Eid Milad party, and in the Eid Milad party, you commit haram. You have singing and dancing and all kinds of stuff. Where did this come from? Which sunnah is this? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We have Bismillah, That has become a ritual that getting the child to read the first ayat of the Quran, we create one bidah first of all. 4 years, 4 months, 4 days. Where did all this 4-4-4 come from? And then he will sit with the two laddus in front of him. At least he gets whatever. At least he gets two laddus, if nothing else. And then he sit with the two laddus. Then he will recite something. And then new trend which is happening now. Once that happens, they send the Maulana away. Who comes to do this? And after that, you have a ghazal party. You have something else. So some haram must be mixed with the halal. I mean, even with the recitation of Quran, some haram should be mixed. We got used to this taste of haram. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. We have to speak against this. Don't worry about popularity. Popularity means nothing absolutely. It doesn't matter who likes you and dislikes you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes you, that's the only thing which will matter, because none of those people who are clapping their hands today will come into your qabr. And none of those people who will criticize you will also come into. Nobody will come into. You go alone in your grave, believe me. And at that point in time, the only thing which matters is, was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you or not? I remind myself and you, don't worry about anybody's pleasure. You do what is right, you know what is right. You do that, you raise your voice against it, against what is not right. And if you don't do that, then I'm not warning you myself, because that's not my position. I'm telling you the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that your time will come if you don't do that. When you raise your hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return your dua. He will not accept your dua. You ask protection, Allah will not protect you. You ask for your need, Allah will not give you a need. Please, if you don't want this to happen, raise your voice against anything which is wrong, no matter who is doing it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand the responsibility of being a Muslim. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the courage to be proper Muslims as defined by Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and by His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to make this easy for us and to save us from difficulties. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.